This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Roshan and Noel. 7:17 a.m. Wednesday, the 29th of July. And in about half an hour, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Bridget Welsh of the University of Nottingham's Asia Research Institute on the High Court verdict regarding former Prime Minister Dato' Sri Najib Razak's SRC International case. We're also running a poll on the subject on the BFM Twitter account.
We're asking you, following the High Court verdict in the SRC International trial, will UMNO distance itself from Dato' Sri Najib Razak? Right now, the vote is very split. 83 votes in, 29% saying yes, 38% saying no, 24% think it'll happen eventually, and 8% just don't know.
Do continue to let us know what you think. We'll be taking a look at the results just shortly. But in the meantime, we're continuing our discussion of how different sectors are being affected by COVID-19 conditions with a look at the oil and gas industry.
Yeah, so, you know, this is a sector that drives the Malaysian economy, right? So it has been badly hit, not just by the economic shutdowns due to the pandemic, but also the plunge in oil prices, plus, you know, the fact that petrol is going to be cutting its capital expenditure and as well as operating expenditure.
So joining us on the line to give us an industry perspective is Sharifa Zaida Nurlisha, President of the Malaysian Oil and Gas Services Council, also known as MOGSI. Thank you very much for joining us, Sharifa. While oil and gas was recognised as an essential industry and was allowed to continue operations, did ONG players face spillover effects from the shutdowns faced by other sectors during the three-month MCO?
As you rightly mentioned, under the Industrial Relations Act 1967, on the first schedule, oil and gas is essential services. For the support services, we have been informed by Petronas, which is our stakeholder and the national oil company, that we must remain open just because it provides the country with the needed energy that it require, and we needed to continue serving Petronas and the other oil players. So the security of the supply had to be maintained. Did we face any problems or any challenges during the shutdown? Yes, definitely. For example, the food service providers that requires imported item within their supply chain, of course, the disruption within the global supply chain will have effect on their operations and the movement. The challenges is more on the operational issues, movement of personnel, movement of vessels. You know, like, for example, as simple as personnel coming to work. A lot of the workers come from nearby, not just in KL, but within the surrounding areas, Seremban, Tanjung Malim, Port Dickson, Melaka. And of course, even with letters, they couldn't come to work because the police are telling them to go home. For the vessels, we are actually seeing that drilling rigs and vessels are not being able to mobilize because, you know, as we are trying to adjust the new norm and the requirement and the SOP, sometimes the trailing down the instruction to the operation people may be a bit slower. So there was a little bit of confusion. For the manufacturing sectors, they were not sure whether they can have 50% people, 100% people working. And for those manufacturers within the OGST, that was not supplying, they was actually exporting their products overseas. Are they allowed to open? Because they are not essential services in Malaysia, but you know, they are actually exporting it overseas. So those are the kind of challenges that we had during the MCO.
And amidst the MCO, the industry faced a double whammy in the form of crashing oil prices in March. Talk to us about the impact there.
Yes, double whammy, definitely double whammy. The oil and gas industry was just coming out of the price crash within 2014, 2016. And we were really, really looking forward to a better 2020 onwards for a more stable global price. In 2019, the Malaysian oil and gas, we call it OGSE, industry employed an estimated of 59,000 employees. And that does not count the force within the oil companies like Petronas, who alone have about 50,000 employees. And by comparison, the aerospace industry, which receives more attention from the government, have only about 24,000 employees. So the OGSE actually generates an industry revenue of about 60 to 70 billion a year, and that's about 5% of the national GDP. And on top of that, within 2016 and 2018, the top 100 OGSE companies, as per MPRC report, recorded an impairment of 16.2 billion ringgit between 2016 and 2018. And in the first quarter of 2020, when the share prices dropped, it dropped by an average of about 54%. translating to about 24 billion market capitalization lost. And this was for the top 24 ODSE companies. And in 2019, these 24 ODSE companies were already recording a total debt of 68 billion ringgit in 2019. So obviously, all this has a lot of impact. And, you know, during the 2014-2016, the oil ODSE players have already optimized their operation and was as efficient as they could be to actually just survive the crash before.
The situation sounds very dire for your industry. What kind of remedies did you seek and how are upstream and downstream companies affected differently?
So Moxie, as the largest independent industry association, we immediately communicated our concerns to Petronas when that happened March this year. Among the things that we requested from Petronas and the oil companies was not to have a knee-jerk reaction to the oil price crash and to support the industry in this difficult time, because in 2014 and 2016, we could see that knee-jerk reaction immediately, you know, for one, asking an immediate certain percentage discount. Just like that, you know. So I think we communicated our request, learning from the lessons that we had. On the downstream side, of course, this low oil price will affect the exploration, new oil, gas reserves, etc., etc. But the low oil price is probably a good thing for the downstream operation as the feedstock for the refinery and petrochemical plants now becomes more cheaper. And we understand from our members who have storage tanks now is like fully utilized or is up to capacity, and the companies are storing oil until the price makes it more profitable to sell. But again, with the downstream, these demands will probably need to be monitored, because with the economy that's going now, people not flying, businesses are restricted. Again, the implication, it will have implication on the downstream sector. So we are monitoring that very closely.
Is the government giving enough support to the oil and gas industry in order to weather the impact of the pandemic?
The ODSE, despite being a 5% national GDP contributor, we are a little bit in a predicament in the sense that the oil and gas industry previously was left in the hands of Petronas to develop and manage. And Petronas have done a fantastic job in nurturing and developing this sector for Malaysia in the last, I think, 46 years. But I think as we mature, the industry needs to be more independent, and we need the industry to be more visible to the government to recognize and acknowledge the importance of this industry. I think as far as Moxie is concerned, we have been trying very hard to get this visibility up to our stakeholder in the government to help us to receive more attention and support from the government. In fact, we have written to the Ministry of Finance to consider a dedicated stimulus package during the MCO. We also have submitted our recommendations for the national budget for their consideration. And we were very happy because of this visibility that we're slowly getting from the government during the MCO. MITI had actually called Moxie to engage with us to understand the needs of the ODSE. So they were very helpful in getting the industry back to business and engaging us on our requirements. So we are very happy, and we would like to record that appreciation to MITI during the MCO also, besides Petronas and the other stakeholders.
What's the discussion within Malaysian ONG regarding the global push towards renewable energy? Are we prepared for this shift away from fossil fuels, and how will the industry adapt?
I think globally, we have no choice but to actually go towards that direction. The question is the matter of time. But however, you know, when it comes to energy shifts, the energy must satisfy the energy trilemma, which is the affordability and access, the energy security, which is just means reliability, and the environmental and sustainability of the energy that we are going to use. So, I think for Malaysia, we still need quite a lot of technology and innovation and the movement towards having all this trilemma to be satisfied before we can really move into that direction. But I don't think we can stop it. I think the cycle has turned, but that we feel that the demand for oil and gas, maybe more for the cleaner gas or the gas advocacy, will actually go more before the renewable energy does come to Malaysia. Now, again, I'm only talking about the current state that we have in Malaysia. Things may change. Maybe the government may have some special initiative that can provide catalysts to jump into renewable energy. I'm not too sure of the future. But definitely, on Moxie's side, what we would like to do is maybe encourage for our members to learn about this and maybe provide a center of excellence for renewable even before it comes to Malaysia, because we still can export our skill sets abroad when we have this energy. So we will be working with our partners to actually see whether we can actually generate this kind of interest within Malaysia.
Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Sharifa. That was Sharifa Zaida Nurlisha, president of the Malaysian Oil and Gas Services Council, also known as MOGSI. And I think the outlook overall for the oil and gas sector isn't exactly the brightest. Local oil and gas companies are still expected to cut their capital expenditure this year as demand for the commodity, I think, as Sharifa mentioned, isn't really going to look up at this point.
Yeah, despite the gloomy outlook, we had oil and gas IPO last week. Ocean Vantage went to the market, ACE Market, and it was quite some positivity around the listing there. And I actually interviewed them yesterday on the Breakfast Grill. You can check that out on the BFM app or Spotify. Just search up Ocean Vantage IPO, Justified Optimism.
And up next, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Mustafa Izzuddin, Senior International Affairs Analyst at Solaris Strategies Singapore, on Singapore's new cabinet lineup. Now, that's going to be happening after the 7:30 news bulletin coming up next. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.